There is a very beautiful amal, a very beautiful deed, action, and on that action, upon implementing or practicing that action, the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has set aside, I will share with you some of those rewards that Allah Ta'ala has given for practicing that deed. But amal, practice, implementing this deed would only give benefit when a person actually does the amal. For example, if I'm speaking with you and I'm sharing this detail with you, it's not for this purpose that we just listen and get some knowledge and leave and we forget what we have heard. This is not the case. This amal is such a deed that we will have to implement this deed. From this world to the hereafter, there is a lot of benefit for this amal, for this action. And I cannot tell you all of the benefits right now, here and now, but the person who leaves this amal, this action, will be a big loser in this world and will be a big loser in the hereafter. But the person who pulls himself together and practices this deed, then alhamdulillah, in this world he will be successful, and in the hereafter he will be successful. Subhanallah. It's a great action, a great action, a great deed. And before I tell you about this amal, or I tell you about the rewards of this deed, before I do that, from the hadith, I would like to that tell you the tariqah, the method, that how can we do this amal, how can we implement this deed. Very common or very regular we see in our lives this situation, that we don't hear a few bayans or lectures or speeches. MashaAllah, gatherings, ta'aleem, with the fadl of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has opened all the routes and paths for us. Those people are doing their work, or the work of the deen. People are delivering and propagating the deen to the people, to the other people. But what is lacking is within ourselves. What is lacking is in our own lives. Day and night in this masjid, there's effort. There are different types of efforts that are made. And we see this in all masajid, in all mosques, in all houses of Allah. So people are doing the work of the deen. But what's lacking is within each of us as individuals. First is that we sit to listen, but nobody has the niyyah that I will do amal on this, what I hear. Before we hear, we have the niyyah, or we have a thinking, okay, I'll listen and go, oh, it was a good time that I passed, and after a few days I'll forget what I heard. So we will be asked, and we will be questioned, that the ilm, the knowledge, the message was delivered to us via the ilm, the knowledge, the Quran or the hadith. Isn't it, my brothers? It's like this, isn't it? But today I will tell you, why is this the case? Why? We're not like rocks, are we? We're not boulders or sand. We know about the hereafter. We know about the qabr. We have seen people pass away. We attend janazah, funeral prayers. So why don't we do the amal that is required? For this reason, I won't tell you the amal first. I won't tell you the deed first. First, I will tell you that what is the reason that we don't do amal, that we don't practice. Now, amal, for this reason, we don't discard deeds or leave out deeds. It's not for this reason that for that deed or to practice that deed, what we need is that we don't practice or we don't make effort on it. No. We don't even know that to be regular in practice, what is the initial point? By listening, you cannot do amal. By hearing things, you cannot do amal. A person, even if he hears and he's really affected, then there will be a shortcut. There will be a temporary adjustment and temporary practice. And after a few days of practice, that person will go back to square one. At that time, he'll be warm and invigorated and aroused to do the amal on the deen. And he'll leave that majlis with a passion to practice. But nobody can come onto amal through listening. It doesn't matter how big a muqarrar and muhaddith a person is. We are sat in front of that person as jahils, and they speak to us and they deliver us the ilm. The reason is that we don't take the step which will make us regular or go towards the amal of this knowledge. And what is that step? the step that we discard or ignore, neglect, that all amal that a person practices, all deeds that a person practices are due to these basic elements. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran that your ears, your eyes, and your heart in front of Allah, they'll be presented and they will be asked everything. They will be asked for the records. So all our parts of our body, they are what work and function and make us go towards Quran and Salah and worship. And these parts of our body, all the control that Allah has kept, there's a king. There's a king that controls all of this. There's a king. These are all subordinates. These are all workers. And who is the king? What is the king? The king is the heart of the human being. The heart. The heart of the human being. So the king of the body is the heart. When a person dies is when the heart fails. The last beat remains and the person is alive. As long as the heart beats, nobody declares that person as passed away. They'll say he's unconscious, 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 unconscious. They look towards the heartbeat, and when the last heartbeat completes its beat, people say he's died. Kings, if they pass away, then all of the kingdom or the army after him, they surrender. Or they hand their allegiance over. So the reason that we don't do amal on ilm, we leave the most precious of deeds. We know that these will be useful for us in the qabr and they're necessary. It's for this reason, because our heart is not correct. We have not rectified our hearts. We have not done islah of our hearts. So my brothers, if we want to do amal, or if there's faraid or nafil, compulsory deeds or voluntary deeds, the first thing we'll need to do is what? Is that we will have to do islah of the heart. And islah of the heart, without islah of the heart, we cannot do amal. We cannot practice. Remember this point. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a lot of emphasis on this point, that correct your hearts, reform your hearts, improve your hearts. And the solution, the cure for the hearts, Allah has emphasized a lot, because we have to rectify the heart. We have to improve the heart. And abundance of dhikr, abundance of dhikr, abundance of dhikr, Allah has mentioned in the Quran. That wahid, the action of the dhikr, Allah, is what will cure your heart, solve your heart's issues. When you do islah, rectify your heart, then alhamdulillah, you won't just listen, but then you will practice. You will practice. Now, this is what's lacking in our lives, is that 99%, 99.9% rather, people today do not pay attention to the islah of the heart. You can explain and advise. They say, no. They don't understand how essential is this element. As long as our heart is not correct and rectified and not made prepared, then our heart will not desire to do amal. So the first point we need to understand, the amal I'm about to tell you today, that this amal will not come in our life and we will not be able to practice it regularly as long as we do not rectify our hearts, improve our hearts. And the islah of the heart is done how? How is it done? Through the dhikr of Allah. Through the dhikr of Allah. The more the heart is ghafil and is ill and is neglectful and unaware of Allah, then it needs more dhikr of Allah. It needs to perform more dhikr of Allah to rectify itself. And if amal do not overwhelm our lives the way that Allah has defined them, then we should consider that our hearts until that time are ill, and that dhikr is not enough for us. We need to do more. So we don't count that I've done dhikr from 10 years or 50 years or 60 years. There's no need to count how many years you've been doing. What we need to count is the dhikr that I'm doing. Is there a result that emanates? That am I, as a result of the dhikr that I'm doing, am I going towards good deeds? And are those deeds being implemented in my life? And if that time I have a passion and a desire that the amal start in my life for which dhikr is done, then consider that your heart has been made, alhamdulillah. And if those deeds are not coming to your life and you are desiring to go more towards sin, then there's no benefit of dhikr. Then this dhikr will not be counted. This medicine will not be making an effect on our hearts. So There's no such thing as dhikr as good effect or a bad effect. Rather, we should be asking, has our heart been made? Has our heart been improved? What is the heart being made? That the parts, the organs of our body will testify that Allah Ta'ala, did he do this action in life, or did he not do this? So for example, we will not then see the scorpions or the snakes in the hereafter, and inshallah, due to practicing the ahkam of Allah, we will see Jannah and paradise in the hereafter, where there will be no pain. So, if this change has started to come, then alhamdulillah, consider the kamal has come and is due to my good dhikr, and it is due to dhikr and nothing else that good deeds are performed. No other action can result in good deeds compared to dhikr. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? So now, I will tell you the amal. And for this amal, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to do islah of our heart so that this amal can start to come into our lives. What is the amal? The amal, all of you know how valuable is this practice, this deed. When we'll hear this, some will say, oh, I know about this. So this is just a minor. What's this? What's the big deal? But this is a big deed. And the person who does proper action on this amal will succeed. And those who don't will not succeed. So first I'll tell you the reward of this amal, a little bit of preparation. In the world, the biggest concern that we have in the world is what? That we are running around to achieve, which is we don't want to be in a tight situation. We don't want poverty and hunger. We don't want to have problems financially, from the king to the poor person to the rich person to the wealthy person. Everyone has this fikr, though, I don't want to lose out. I don't want to lose out financial. Where will I eat from? Where will I save from? I won't be able to pass my time properly. I won't have the finances I need. So the first benefit of this action, this is such an amal that it eliminates poverty, eliminates fikr and concern for wealth. It eliminates this. Because concern for wealth, what is concern for wealth? Not that we don't have money. It's not that, oh, I have got too much money. This is not the case. Rather, many people are millionaires or billionaires. They have money in their bank balances and their business. They are the most, you can say, poor. They are the poorest of people. Poor is that person who is not satisfied and content with what he's got. Because greed and running after wealth, doesn't matter how rich a person is or wealthy, if he's greedy and selfish, then he's the most poor of people. He was as concerned, I want this as well, I want to do this as well, I want money from here and from the left and the right. And in his life, he can never attain sakina, contentment, satisfaction, peace of heart. Because the quantity of money will not make you rich. Doesn't mean that, for example, if I want to eliminate poverty or the feeling of having no wealth, that I need to have a lot of money. No, person who has a lot of money is even more poor. He's poorer than the others because he has tasted some. For example, if you make the nice mango lassi with ice on the top and cream on top of that, and you are given the glass, and then you're looking, is there another glass? I need another glass. Then I need a third glass, because you're enjoying that drink. In the same way, when money comes to a person's life, he says, I want some more. First he says, I just want enough so I can pass my life nicely and easily. Then he says, no, I want a bit more. I need a bit more. And the hadith tells us that person is not satisfied. So poverty and the feeling of being poor is not eliminated through money. Rather, a person in whose heart, if Allah Ta'ala removes the greed and selfishness and replaces with contentment, that's the person who is wealthy. But this doesn't come to a person. So when a person does this amal that we're going to come onto, then Allah will give the result that the person will be satisfied with what he's got. Then his basis will not be quantity of money, quantity of wealth. Allah, he will not say, Allah, I need more money so I will be wealthy. If I don't have enough, I'll be poor. How will I pass the time? How will I spend? I'm poor, etc. These worries will come out of that person's heart, and then he'll be the most wealthiest of people, who's content on what he's got. Nor does he have any problems. He doesn't run after anyone. He doesn't steal from anybody. He doesn't break a promise. Nor does he deceive anyone. Nor does he lie. All of the sin is pulled on a person from greed and selfishness. And the money is in his bank and people think he's rich. And his nights are passed through crying. He has a lot of fikr and tossing and turning for wealth. He says, oh, I'm so worried. I don't have money. So is that person wealthy? Or is that person living in poverty? He's the most poorest of people who has the wealth, but he still feels he needs more. So this amal, if we do this, this will make a person a pure, rich and wealthy person. It'll take that person out of that problem. It'll take the khawf of poverty out of that person's heart and mind. No ibadah of that person will be rejected. for the reason that, oh, my mal is being reduced, my wealth is being reduced. So this is the first great benefit that we've just shared. Isn't this the case? What a great benefit that it will make you and me amir, wealthy without hoarding money. I'll be satisfied and content. The car that I've got, I'll be satisfied. The house I've got, I'll be satisfied. And the bed I've got, I'll be satisfied. I won't look towards other people. What sofa does he have? Which car does he have? Where's he going on holiday? What's he doing? What's he doing? How much money does this person have? We'll be mutmain, satisfied, totally content that whatever I've got is the best. It's first class life and I don't need more than this. I don't need any more. Allah, you give me enough. What a great feeling in the heart of a person, eh? So this is the first result of this action we're going to discuss. Otherwise a person is muflis and is poor and he dies in this way. Money, money, I need another money, some more money, some more currency, some more notes. And with this feeling and thoughts, the person passes away. May Allah Ta'ala save us from this big adab, this big punishment of greed for wealth. And only that person knows how big adab this is, who is immersed in this. He can't sleep, he cannot eat, he doesn't know where it's coming from, where it's going, what's occurring. He's in a very bad punishment. So that's one result of this amal we're going to discuss. And then, mashallah, we know that after life, the phases of the hereafter that start. In the dunya, we're not worried. A person has kingdom and leadership or lands. For example, if this point comes out of your mind and heart that I need money, then you're the king of the kings. And there was a person, a humble servant, miskin, was sitting there. He said, I am the richest at this time. There's nobody more wealthy than me. Because he had eliminated the love of the world. So we've covered the dunya with this one amal. Okay, the second benefit, there are many, you can say, difficult phases to come in the akhir that we will have to confront. And all of those phases that we have to confront in the hereafter, this amal will benefit us in those phases. What is this? What are the phases of the hereafter that this amal will benefit us in? We don't know that the biggest manzil, the first destination, which is the qabr after death, is very difficult and dangerous. It's such a phase, such a manzil, such a destination that those personalities, those great lofty personalities, all life long they sought refuge from the adab of the qabr, from the punishment of the grave. And the grave, we are going to be lowered into this when a person passes away. So the introduction of the phase is what? That soon as a person is lowered into the grave, then his ribs overlap, the grave becomes tight. This is the first reception or greeting of the grave. That a person's body is lowered and then his ribs and his bones overlap. And after that, the adab starts. Those sins, the adab begin, those sins that we've forgotten in the world. You know those things that we have doubtful, we think, oh, it's doubtful, we can do it. Even those, the punishments will start. Yeah, an amal that is like a dot. Oh, I'm just coming now. Very small statement. I'm just coming. To a person, you say, I'm just coming. And then in your heart, you know that I'm not going now. I'm not going to see this person. When am I going to do this action? And that is such a big adab for this action, because all of these things, hadith, my brothers, they were sent for this reason. What else is left in hadith? What else is there in hadith? Hadith is an information bank that tells us about the adab of the hereafter. Hadith have given us great information of what to do, how to live, that this will be the punishment of this sin, of this sin, of this sin. This will be the punishment. This will be the punishment. Nothing can save us. Nothing. If we do not take heed. Such adab and punishments that will come. So this is such an action that from the adab of the qabr, it will save us from the punishment of the grave. This action. So firstly, savior from greed for wealth. And secondly, will save us from the adab of qabr. So it's not the case that you'll done sins and adab will come. Rather, the speciality of this amal, this deed, is that this deed will not allow you to implement sins in the world. So then how will the adab come thereafter if you have not done sins in the world? That's the effect of this deed in this world and the reward. You see how great is this amal that we're going to discuss soon? Subhanallah. And the third benefit of this amal is that when a person comes out of the grave, then the next stage after that, or the few stages after that, will be even more severe. There's the bridge of Sirat that will come. The bridge of Sirat. Sirat, the bridge will be such there will be total darkness. That even if somebody wears a dark black coat, I cannot give you the comparison of that darkness. And if in that darkness we have a very thin hair and as sharp as a sword, on that we will have to travel, and beneath that will be hellfire. Beneath that sharp as a sword, thin as a hair, bridge will be hellfire. And those people who broke Allah Ta'ala's obedience. I said, oh, it's all right, I'll see what happens. What difference does it make if I do this? Oh, why are you saying if I do this, this will happen? What difference does it make? I can sin. I try my best. Doesn't matter if I do this. What can I do? Don't force me. So at that day, we will realize. We will realize that when we will have to cross the bridge of Sirat, it will be dark, and bridge of Sirat will be as thin as a hair, and it will be sharp, and we'll have to cross that bridge. Allah will be the Malik that day. Allah will protect. And this amal that we will discuss now is that this deed will allow us to cross the bridge of Sirat like the lightning, the flash of lightning, speed of lightning, speed of light. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Let's enjoy what a great deed is coming to us. Great deed. I've told you the tariqah that it will come into our life. What is the method repeated again? That this amal will definitely come into our lives. How? How will it come? The person who starts doing dhikr of Allah, then he will start doing this amal. The person who starts doing dhikr of Allah with this niyyah, that I want to rectify my heart, alhamdulillah, then he attains all of the amal that are beneficial. And if he keeps saying, and close his eyes, I'm with Hazrat outside, I'm doing tasbih, and I'm sat like a chicken with my neck bowed, no difference will be made to my life. No difference. But the person who sits with the right niyyah, Allah, hellfire is coming to me and I'm going to pass away, my mouth will come one day, then he starts to shriek and cry. During dhikr he starts to sob. He doesn't snore, he doesn't feel sleepy. No, he doesn't sit down and sway and worried about things, how much dhikr to do, because their dhikr is quality dhikr of that person. So the dhikr that's done with fikr, with khawf, with fear, and this is what the Quran says, there's such a dhikr in which there's sincerity, humbleness and khawf, then that person's beard becomes wet due to the dhikr and the regret that comes, that emanates in that dhikr. My brothers, so with this niyyah, if we sit with intention that I'm going to do islah of my qalb, then that dhikr is islah qalb. No, I want to be a buzurg, wali of Allah, become a khalifa and drama. I'm a jamaat, we're a great group. No one is nothing. Everything's a drama. Whoever has taken islah, for example, you've all come at this time, whoever's come with this pain that I'm going to dhikr for this reason, that I'm sinful, I've got evil and darkness in my heart, I've got no ikhlas, no sincerity, in a bad situation, qabr is about to come, and the love of the world is over me, I'm tired of counting money, and I've got so many issues and problems. But if I think, oh, if this happens, I'll do dhikr and I'll be successful in the world, etc., I will not achieve anything. I came as a monkey and I will leave as an ape, as a monkey. Even if I sit down for 100 years like this, I'll be in the same hal. Don't be under the illusion, because illusion, deception is also an illness of the heart. Subhanallah, remember this point. Even then, if we have this deception and illusion, then we have not done islah of our hearts. But if the person runs after a sheikh, comes dhikr in the morning, evening, sincerely in his heart, he has a feeling that Allah changed my heart. Allah changed the life of my heart, I'm destroyed. Allah, you don't like that a person lives in this world with the hoarding and the loving of wealth. And I'm in the world always worried about fikr of money and nothing else. And I've got so many difficulties and problems overcome me, and I've got issues and problems in my mind. Allah, these problems are not coming out of my heart. My nafs is on this journey. Allah, save me. Allah, save me. Then where will that person go? Allah says, there's only one thing that you can do. Do my dhikr. Then the person runs after Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Then Allah Ta'ala gives the effects of his dhikr straight away, immediately. So it doesn't take a year in this. It doesn't take a year. It doesn't take many years. Very quickly a person reaches to the destination. So a need of pain and desire. Deep-rooted desire. So for example, if your sin goes AWOL. If your son goes AWOL. You're seeking your son. You're looking for your son. You've gone on Umrah. And suddenly your son gets lost. Your son gets lost. You're looking for your son, your child. And you are not looking for your own son. Let's say you're looking for another person's son. Will you see a difference in the figure of each person? You'll see this. You'll see from their face. The person whose son it is, he's looking for his son. He'll be shrieking and screaming, oh my son, where is he gone? And he'll say, where shall I start from? But if you are looking for somebody else's son, you say, have you seen this child? Or have you seen his appearance was like this? Have you seen this child? So the father is going mad and crazy. But the other person, difference in emotion. And this is the difference. The person who is the fikr of the qabr, he will run after dhikr like a mad person. That I need to improve my life. How do I improve my life? How? Like a thirsty person. Allah, I'm grateful to you. You gave me dhikr in a majlis. You allowed me to be seated in dhikr. I was looking for this. And the coolness will come into that person's mind and heart. Allah, change the situation and the emotion of my heart so I can be in a good position. Am I right or am I wrong, brothers? So whose fault is it? Say it loudly. Our fault. Our own fault. We're just there in the same position.
Where we were stood, we stood in the same place, and this is our example. After doing dhikr, we stood in the same place. After doing dhikr, then we stood in the same place. We're not moving ahead, we're not progressing. This is an issue. So, maut comes eventually, then the grave is dug. Oh, he was a dhakir, he was no dhakir. We know his halat. We know his condition. He was a dog in the world, he earned money, ran after money, did this, and thousands of things will come out. Who said he was a dhakir? Who said? Subhanallah. And the person who is the true, honest dhakir, the angels testify for that person. Allah, he is the dhakir. Nobody needs to testify for him. The angels testify. The angels, they walk around with him whilst he's living, say, this is a musafir of the world, and he is the dhakir. So first thing is the result of this deed is that dunya, contentment we attain. Secondly, we are saved from the punishment of the grave. Third, we will cross the bridge of Sirat with ease, with speed. No deed, don't trust any deed. These are the things that will come in use for us in the hereafter. If a person does islah of the heart, rectification of the heart, and does amal, then he'll get these rewards that we're discussing. Three we've discussed. Number four. Benefit number four. What is this? We will be saved from the adab of the qabr, saved from the greed of the wealth, and cross the bridge of Surat with ease. Then there will be another maqam where a person will see that, do I go to the right or do I go to the left? Even then he will not trust himself. These are ajeeb destinations that will come thereafter. Ajeeb maqams, ajeeb phases and scenes will come after death, my brothers. Don't discount this. That person will be successful in the hereafter who will get the book of deeds in his right hand. Allahu Akbar. Yameen. Ahli Yameen. The people of the right. And everyone in the world who ever lived will be stood there. In which hand will my book of deeds come? So this amal that we're about to share, the blessings of it will be that the book of deeds will be placed in our right hand. Another great result. Subhanallah. Now you're thinking, what a great big deed this is. You're thinking this, aren't you? And it is a great deed. It is a big deed. It's not a small deed. It's not a small deed. It's a great big deed. Will you practice this? Inshallah. After this, there's nothing left. There's no debate. Whoever's going to practice this, raise your hand so I can see who's going to practice this. MashaAllah. Okay, there's someone who's a bit sleeping, this young man here. Okay. Next, he said, so the book of deeds will come into the right hand. Fourth phase. Even then after that, we'll have to wait. There'll be a queue. A queue system. Phases in the hereafter. Then after that, there'll be an announcement due to that deed that was performed. So say subhanallah loudly when you hear this. A great thing. Be prepared beforehand. I'm telling you mentally. That the volume of your subhanallah should be heard outside. Such a great conclusion. This will be the final stage. And this is when a person will be successful due to this amal. What is the fifth phase? Allah will say that those people who did this deed, then why are you waiting? Go into paradise without any accounting. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, without any counting. And this is the greatest achievement, my friends. Allahu Akbar. Angels will be amazed. Huh? What deed is this? This person did that he's going into paradise without any reckoning? Without any accounting? So these are mustanid hadith I've told you. Mustanid. Narrated. Agreed upon. You understand? So I tell you the amal now. Then we'll start dhikr, inshallah. Because dhikr is what will give us success. So will we do this amal, all of us? Inshallah. Subhanallah. So, my aqa, our master, Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that that amal is what? This deed is what? To be regular in salah. Regular in salah. Say subhanallah. To be regular and observant in salah. Punctual in salah. Not you've prayed Jummah. Punctual is what? All life long that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. The whole life Allah Ta'ala has given to me. It starts from 7 years old. And until death, Allah has given us one task. That 5 times a day salah in the masjid you have to pray. And what do we call this? Punctual in salah. And the person who's done this all his life, he has fulfilled this task all life long. Apart from this point that if Allah Ta'ala has given a day off, for example, he's unconscious on a bed, he's sick. All life long, the person who observes salah, he didn't leave one salah. And this is our life. This is our status of a mu'min. This is what, remember this point. Not, oh, I've got two left, or one I prayed, the other. No. This is not the hisab. Regular, punctual. Allah Ta'ala has given us the definition. Regular and punctual in salah. That as soon as salah has become fard on you, until the day that you depart from this world. Subhanallah. As Umar radiallahu anhu, anyone greater than him? As Ali radiallahu anhu, anyone greater than him? As Ali was shaheed. Was shaheed. And he had 11 sons after him. How many? 11. As Hassan Hussein are included in that. In Kufa, he passed away. And when the person came and placed a dagger into Hazrat Ali, and so he was the lion of Allah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, and he had a lot of power and status. And that khabees, that rich person, saw the opportunity. He was on the end of the row. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu went in the sujood prostration, he ran forward and he stabbed Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu with the dagger which had the poison on it, and this went into the blood of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. And so much blood flew, so much blood flowed, that he only did one sajda, one prostration, the other one remained. So listen carefully to what I'm saying. Maybe you have not heard this before. I'm talking to you about the importance of salah, prayer. Why did they have importance for salah? Why? Because their teacher, who was the subhanallah, master of the universe, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us the importance of salah. The Rasulullah, when he departed from this world, he said, be careful about your salah. Subhanallah. So how could then Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu and the sahaba not practice? Because we don't even realize. No words of the Prophet, they don't even let our hair stand up. But the sahaba, we heard the hadith and they heard it verbally. The same point, same situation. We are Muslim. Are we Muslim? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said something from his blessed words and amal and order, and we leave the order? We leave the order. Rasulullah's blessed statement, keep the beard and trim the moustache and lengthen the beards. Who said this? Who said this? Mawlana sahib? Peer sahib? Hazrat sahib? Muhaddis sahib? Dunya, the biggest leader, bring him. We can reject. But if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, then we cannot reject his words from his blessed tongue. Can a mu'min do this? How can he dare? How can a mu'min dare to reject what Rasulullah said? Such a great insan. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the greatest personality, the order, the Rasulullah has given us an order, an instruction. Can anyone dare to reject? Only that person can reject who is rebellious, who is rebelled. Rasulullah's blessed statement, if he has said something from his blessed statement and words, then end of story. We don't need dalil, we don't need to ask again. That's it. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And such a human being, such people, that Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah, he has distributed so much iman amongst the Muslims. Subhanallah, who did this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's come from Allah. Just like after Allah comes Rasulullah, and after Quran comes Bukhari. And this is the maqam of Bukhari Sharif. That everyone accepts and no one rejects Bukhari. All the different sects, when the name of Bukhari comes, everyone cools down. Everyone accepts. But all kitabs of hadith, Hazrat Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, and the other hadith kitabs, these are all mustanid hadith and agreed hadith. But Hazrat Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has put such a status on Hazrat Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi, and the Bukhari Sharif, and the hadith of Bukhari, that any statement that came from Rasulullah, Allah said, I don't want any doubt when it reaches to the hearts and the minds of the Muslims. So the first decision that will be made in the hereafter is that you kept on rejecting. You kept on rejecting. And then you heard the words from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you rejected. How can you call yourself a mu'min? And a Muslim, whose kalima did you recite? Whose gender do you want to go in? You're a munkar. You're a rejecter. So why is this not happening? What is the reason? It's not our fault, I told you. It's that our heart has not been rectified. And if the heart is rectified, then suddenly you will start to realize and you will follow the actions. Because we're not disbelievers, are we? We're not sat here for some other reason. Allah has given us iman, and there's a reason why we don't implement deeds, and that's a disease. And Allah says that you're not bad. How can you call an ill person bad? You can't say an ill person, you're bad, you're evil, get out of the hospital. No. So Allah says, I've given all of you hearts, but you are being told now you're ill. If you aren't doing this great deed, that means you have a disease in the heart. You need to rectify it quickly. Otherwise your hal will be very bad. And that's what is told. And Allah gives the cure. Then it's in our destiny, in our hands. If I do the cure, then I will be better and improved. So do we understand this point now? Isn't this the case? So this, what I'm sharing with you, is that Salah and regularity, punctuality in Salah. What is punctual in Salah? Who's that? That after when we pass away, we live 70 years of life. And all of the life, 70 years of my life, the Salah will come in front of me. in the congregation, because the hukum is to pray in congregation. And if I go, oh, this happened, I couldn't pray, I was forced to do this, I was in a position where I was not in control of what I was doing and I couldn't pray. No, this will not be accepted. Allah says, leave all of your actions and pastimes and come to pray salah and worship me, Allah Ta'ala says, and this is the condition. So now, Mufti Saab will tell you the masail and the rules, but I've just told you the summary. The summary. So the person who prays salah every day, 5 times a day, is this a big deed? Is this a massive deed? Is this too hard? Has Allah Ta'ala given us anything more difficult? Allah has given us one task. The 5 times salah, where should you pray? In jama'in, in congregation. In congregation. Then you will get all of these rewards that we've discussed earlier today. And fikr of the dunya will be eliminated. Do not leave salah in jama'ah. Do not. In any way or form, in any situation or example, such a big order that Allah Ta'ala has given to us for salah, for prayer. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at this hadith, another hadith has come to my mind. And this is the importance and the greatness of salah that we are listening to here. So he stated to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that please tell me, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the most beloved and preferred deed that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the deed that Allah Ta'ala prefers the most and likes the most? And what's the answer? As Umar radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. Then Rasulullah ﷺ looked at him and said, the most preferred deed, beloved deed for Allah. And Rasulullah ﷺ said, to pray your salah in the greatest and the best time. The time, the best time, the optimum time. In the optimum time. In other words, if there is time for salah. There is time for salah. Don't delay your salah. Don't leave salah. I'll pray now. Especially our women, I'll pray now. I've got a bit of time. No. We don't do this. If we pray salah on time, do you know what is the thawab? When a person prays salah on time, then the position of that salah, Rasulullah has told us, shall I tell you what's the reward? Shall I tell you the scene? What a scene. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah first. Subhanallah. Allah, this is salah and the rewards. With the fadl of Allah, if we pray, all of you, on time, pray salah at the optimum time. It's stated that when a person prays salah on time, then that salah becomes what? What form does it take? It takes the form of a house full of noor. What type of noor is this? Light, I don't know. But it becomes the appearance of noor. And after becoming noor, it starts a journey to the heavens. So the salah that's prayed on time becomes like, you can say, a bubble of noor, and it lifts and ascends to the heavens. It ascends, and it reaches to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This salah. And then when it reaches to the arsh, to the throne of Allah, and all of the people who pray salah all day long, 70 years of salah will be gathered and collected together at the arsh of Allah. Imagine the people who made their lives. Have you seen this? We don't even know what is life and how to collect thereafter. We keep on jumping around and running around after this dunya, and we will never learn and never be able to implement. So think for a moment. Think that, for example, are people not passing away? So those people who have understood this, then they will pray salah all their lives at the optimum best time. And where will all this salah, the reward be? At the bottom of the arsh, along with the arsh, attached to the arsh, and they'll be glowing and sparkling. What will be their job? They say that when Rasulullah said that when the deed of salah reaches to the arsh, then what does the salah do? When it reaches to the throne of Allah, they start to dua for that individual. Pray salah, Allah, just like this person protected me, Allah, you also protect this person. Subhanallah. And that's why those people who pray salah, they have no issues, nothing to worry about. And jinn magic and black magic, they don't waste their money on the potions and the solutions from such people. No. The salah itself protects the person. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So brothers, what a great point that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, the action of salah and the rewards for praying salah on time. Otherwise, the person will get the punishment. So, for example, some people, before this, some people lived to the age of 100. So we should say, Allah, that will 100 years of salah be gathered with the fadl of Allah? Allah says, I'm Rahim al-Wadood. Subhanallah. Allah says, I'm Ar-Rahim and al-Wadood. Wadood, Allah Ta'ala says, I love to the heights, immensely, extremely I love. So when a person hears this hadith today, us such useless people, I speak about myself, I sat down here, I've heard this hadith today, so what should I do with the time that passed before me? Do I forget? Allah Ta'ala says, don't worry, don't tremble, because Allah says, I'm Rahim and Wadood. Subhanallah. And today you accepted my invitation and I love you, Allah Ta'ala says. And from today, if you start this amal, then all of your previous salahs that were missed, Allah says, I will increase to that level of acceptance, because you're doing the action with love. Allah says, this is my choice. Allah says, in Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Who can stop me? Who can stop me? But I've got love for you, regard for you, so I've accepted these words of yours today. So forget the counting. From today, Allah Ta'ala says, our hisab will start, that all of your previous deeds will be accepted, and I'll deliver them to the mode of acceptance, and the people will keep on doing dua for you, and your salah will do dua for you. So my brothers, this is a great action. May Allah Ta'ala give us this result. There are three things. What did I say to you? What did we discuss? Stay awake in front of me. Stay alert. What's the first thing? That you cannot do this amal, you cannot practice this deed if you have not done rectification of your heart. And how can we rectify the heart? How? Say it loudly. Dhikr of Allah. What should be your niyyah when you're doing dhikr Allah? I'm doing the islah of my heart, rectifying my heart, so I can also do amal and practice good deeds. The person who's sick, my brothers, like me, the person who's sick, who is weak, who doesn't do amal on the sunnah, who Rasulullah has given hukam, and the person doesn't accept the hukam, wajib or compulsory or fard, nafil khair. If a person doesn't practice nafil, a person cannot be, a complaint cannot go. But those things that are wajib, keeping the bed is wajib, it is fard, it is compulsory. So for those people who don't practice this deed, then that person is a criminal. And in the world, that person, if he doesn't do tawbah before starting this amal, then there is punishment upon punishment. And thereafter, Allah will say, how did you reject this amal? There's no hisab for that person. What's the reason for this? Because our hearts are spoiled. So from today, we need to prepare the heart, that those people whose hearts are so weak that they don't even feel like listening to what Rasulullah has told us, then they should start doing dhikr today. This is my, you can say, love between ourselves and my pain in my heart. A person should do tawbah and say, I will start doing dhikr today, and I should soften my heart so I can go towards amal in a regular way. And people like us who are sat down and we do tasbih and we keep looking at our amal and we don't have due care, then why is my dhikr not being accepted? What will they do? Why is my dhikr not benefiting my heart, they say? Why isn't it benefiting my heart? So, why is my heart not beating? Why am I dunyadar? Why am I a person of the world? How will salah assist me? Why do I commit wrong actions? Why do I lie? Why do I backbite? Why do I do everything in anger? Why am I envious all the time? Where has my dhikr gone? Where are the effects of my dhikr? There's no benefit of dhikr. I'm talking to you from what I've been told from my shaykh. As I said, that no dhikr is beneficial if it doesn't result in the amal that should come with it. Let me tell you this as a clear point. That dhikr will be accepted and maqbool through which we have rectified our hearts and rectified the qalb, and through which we've got amalus salihat, righteous deeds. So the question should be asked, we should question our hearts, what's the reason that I will depart from this world in this way? I will pass away this way, that I've struggled and made effort and everything's wasted, everything's going into the ditch, and I'm stood in the same place and there's no change in me. There's no change in me. I don't feel any change inside myself. So upon this point, a person should cry and he should beg Allah and make faryad. Allah, I should have something, Allah, that I want to improve myself, I want to change myself, I don't want to pass in this way. So alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala hears and listens to every individual. Allah Ta'ala accepts. The rest, nonsense, lying and speaking untrue things, this will be resulting in a double punishment situation. Don't live in deception. Don't keep on sinning, and you don't do amal on the ahkams of Allah, and we say, oh, I can't do this, it's too difficult for me, this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen, etc. I keep trying, etc. This is total nonsense. Total nonsense. And this all invites and earns the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala has created us, Allah has given us iman, Allah has given hukam, and we have to do amal 100% on the hukam, end of story, no negotiation. No negation. No other word can come, oh, I didn't do for this reason, that reason. The orders come from above. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us an order. This order has come to us. That's it. And we are not allowed to reject this order if this order has reached to us. That's a total and clear message for us. So from today, let's start this action. Let's correct our niyyah. Let's correct our sincerity. Oh, I can't do this. It's too hard. I was trying. As a sahab, do dua for me. Do that for me, etc. I get very angry on these requests. These are fraudsters, these people who make these statements. They're committing fraud. They are liars and they are betraying the deen when they speak like this. Until today, 80 years, 50 years, I stayed with my sheikh and I sit on the prayer mat and I say, after the first day, I never heard my sheikh say that I cannot do this, I'm going to do dua for me, I'm trying, I can't do this. I know that this is deception if I see this. Deception. In front of Allah, can I speak like this? Then there will be another sin on my head, another sin on my head. And we don't even accept the crime. We don't even accept the crime. Amazing, imagine this. That we make excuses, futile excuses. I tried my best, and Hasab do dua for me, it's hard for me. And then I pick up that letter, I tear it, I don't even look at it, I don't even listen to the message. Rather, I hate, dislike, and I dislike the effect of that person with increased amount of dislike for that. That if a person's sinning, accept the sin. For example, I am weak and I don't want to leave the dunya, the love of the dunya, the desire for the dunya. This is fraud. I'm doing fraud with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This gives me more loss. Beware. We have come, you have come, I have come. If we've come into this line, then don't deceive, I cannot practice. Why did you come in this silsala then? Come out of this silsala. Come out of this path. Leave and run away. What have you come here to do? Forgery has ever been that a person, he goes into the army, trains, and he's enrolling in the police force, and they say, okay, take hold of this criminal. No, 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 I cannot take the criminal. I cannot arrest the criminal. So ask him, any other policeman, will say, go and grab this thief. The campaign is coming, say, no, no, I can't do this. I cannot, it's too hard. Just I want to stay as the person there. Huh? We invested in you, we trained you to the heights, and you're now a member of the army, etc. And you're saying, I can't do this. No, no, it's too hard for me. 70 years, 50 years, 30 years, you had the dhikr of Allah, you kept on doing dhikr, you came, you sat game and you said, we cannot do this action. That person wants to desire, he desires to go into hellfire. Double jahannam is for that person. Double hellfire. So, oh blind people, think, what are you lying about? What nonsense are you speaking? Something to think about here. That to our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot practice Allah, it takes too long, it's difficult for me, and this happens, and I have this feeling and this emotion. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That, as I said, when I hear such people, when I see such people make boring excuses, then the bad dua, the negative dua comes out of my heart. I said, these are those people who are dragged along in their life due to being like munafiqs. That when they run around for the world and dunya, they have two hands, but they'll spread their hands out like four. All night long, they run the computer online, everything. When the time comes, oh, dhikr, oh, it's too much. I cannot do this. Oh, it's too difficult. How can I do this? Etc. No khawf of Allah. No fear of Allah. When Allah Ta'ala grabs, then Allah grabs with firmness. Firmness. Allah Ta'ala is very clear. So what point does this make here to us? They say, oh, we've come to attain ishq and love. Please leave here. Get out. Don't come near to me. I don't need such people. I don't need fraudsters. No. I need sincerity. Person comes and says, I've come to do my salah. I want to improve myself. I want to leave the sins. Then how comes the sins will not go? The sins will definitely go. How can it be we cannot come to dhikr? How can it be that we cannot pray salah? Are we totally useless? Are we in prison? Don't you have the strength of iman? Don't you have it? Why have you stopped the practice there? Ajib. And in the dunya, all night long that person will be awake and you make that person say 10,000 things and do fraud and games are played. But when the work of the deen comes, Hazrat Sahib, I can't do this. Hazrat Sahib, do something for me. Hazrat Sahib, do this for me. I say, what is this discussion? What is this point? No salah, salah is not improved, no punctuality in salah, and such rewards that we discussed earlier. And we've left this deed? So this, we should tear up that piece of paper on which we make futile and waste of time excuses. Maybe other peers will accept this, but with this ajiz, humble servant, this will not work. Here we cannot deceive, totally not. If it runs somewhere else, let it run. Either come here as proper human beings and rectify yourselves, do tawbah and improve and do the right actions and understand Allah is watching us. Who are you committing fraud against? Who are you lying to? Whose dhikr are you disliking? What is the excuse that you are presenting? What excuse do you have? That within a second Allah says, I can wipe you away. Allah says, I'll give you a chance. And Allah says, close your mouths and close the excuses and go towards Allah's obedience. Tubu ila Allah. Turn your attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a standard of the dunya, the dhikr of Allah. You're measuring this, you're measuring this. Tell me. So brothers, this is a very essential point for us today. Let's do islah of our hearts. Rectify our hearts. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the total path. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Total, complete, and compact path. That first and foremost, do islah of your heart. And in Naqshbandi silsila is the greatest dhikr. What is the greatest silsila? The Naqshbandi route. I'm telling you, this is a fact. The Naqshbandi order of teachers, the greatest silsila today is the Naqshbandi silsila. And whose dhikr is the greatest? The Naqshbandi dhikr. The Naqshbandi dhikr. And this can improve a person's heart within seconds, in the mind and the heart and the state of mind. Within seconds it can improve a person's life. And if we close your eyes and sit down like potatoes and snoring, then there'll be no benefit of that dhikr, will there? So such ala and great things Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Great things. That mashallah, the biggest masjid in Bolton is what? Say it loudly. Masjid Zakariya. Has Allah Ta'ala not given you dhikr here? He's given you dhikr here. Isn't it? So tell me now. That the best time for dhikr is what? Which the best day? The night of Jummah. Has Allah Ta'ala given us this or not? The great, the best masjid, the biggest masjid, and the best time of the week to do dhikr of Allah, the night of Jummah after Isha on Thursday. Subhan, this has started now. After Isha, the time of the Hajjud starts. After Isha, the time for the Hajjud starts. So, are we seated? We're seated in Tahajjud now, remembering Allah. This is the night of Jummah. And this has been defined as Laylatul Qadr. The doors of Jannah are open. Allah Ta'ala announces bakshish, forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala elevates the status. Darajat, Allah forgives. Maghfirah, Allah gives walayat. Allah opens the hearts. Allah gives rizq. Allah gives iman. Allah gives wealth. Allah gives Jannah. Allah also protects that person from Jahannam. So, Master, tell me. Allah has given us this as well. Allah has given us this as well. So is there anything left? So Naqshbandi silsila Allah has given to us. Allah has given us time. Our time still in our lives. Allah has taken us to the gathering, seated us down. And then we're still like the donkeys, and we come back like donkeys. We have no intention to correct ourselves. No one thinks that tomorrow Fajr Salah will pray Allah and will improve us. We don't even come to Fajr. We don't even come to Fajr. Unfortunately. We have no khawf in our hearts. We have no khawf. We have no feeling that Allah Ta'ala has favored us. So who gives rizq? Who gives rizq? Allah gives rizq, isn't it? Allah gives what? So from which mouth shall I ask for rizq? Allah Ta'ala says, I give food to the dogs and to the cats and to insects. So there's no difference to this. And this is, Allah Ta'ala says, I give to everyone in creation. So Allah Ta'ala has given us that item, those items. Allah Ta'ala hasn't even given to the greatest kings. What has Allah given us? He's given us the tawfiq to remember His name. His own name. They show me, is Nawaz Sharif sat down at this moment in time? Where is he sat down? Where is Zardari sitting at this moment in time? Yes, they don't even have the tawfiq apart from counting and hoarding. Is no other function. Look around the dunya, look at the big kings and the big shots. But is anyone seated down? Who sat down at this time in this masjid? At the time of the Hajjud, some fakirs are sat down and they are remembering Allah, subhanallah. So can there be anyone greater than these people? Tell me, big and great is that person who's great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget leadership and being a king. That if a person tries to harm a fakir, a wali of Allah, that they are beloved people of Allah in this gathering. If somebody tries to poke their finger at this gathering or to spoil it, Allah ta'ala says, I'll tell you how. Don't affect that. Do you not know my beloved servants are seated here? Nobody come, not even the king of kings can come. Not even the king of kings. So this is the link that we should have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases due to the dhikr of Allah. A person gets closer to Allah. And as a person does dhikr of Allah, he becomes the beloved of Allah. The more dhikr a person does, the more beloved he becomes of Allah. So mahbub, that Allah ta'ala has given the scene of this in the Quran. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, Allah. That you become so beloved to me that you are looking at me and I'm looking at you. Subhanallah. You will keep on seeing me and I will keep on seeing you. Allah ta'ala is saying to his servant, who can say such a statement so clearly and openly? And what gave us this result? The dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah. So this is a great ni'mah, my friends. We should do qadr of this. We should appreciate this. Stop making excuses and have the khawf of Allah. This is a big example of being ungrateful. And those people who have spoken nonsense, they need to do tawbah, repent, do tawbah to Allah. I don't know what position they're in, that Allah has kept them in. And the doors of tawbah are open. Do tawbah with an honest heart. And whatever bedbi you did with the dhikr of Allah, you made a fuss and you rejected and you didn't do it, then save yourself from Allah Ta'ala's punishment. And I say this openly with pain and forget that. Do tawbah, repent, do tawbah. And give sadaqat the Allah from our mouths. How did we allow such statements to come out? And you give us such ni'mas and we rejected them? We rejected your ni'mas? Those people who spoke nonsense regards to dhikr, that I cannot do dhikr, it's too hard, how can I do it, I don't have time and this and that, don't tell me to do it. And they run away from dhikr, they rebel against dhikr and they set the alarm for dhikr and they blame dhikr. They should do tawbah. That I'm saying this from the heart, I have no difference is made to me, no difference. I'm saying from my heart, those people who said wrong things, who spoke rubbish and nonsense, they're hearing what I'm saying, then align yourselves, stand up. And correct yourselves. Allah Ta'ala selected you for Sirat al-Mustaqeem. And make effort and try to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.